Welcome to the Rural Pastor Podcast with your host, Pastor Andy Addis.
You plant the seeds in the ground, though the fields have long been brown. But Lord, when will your harvest come in? You're giving all you've got to give in the place where you've been sent. But will this labor make much difference in the end? Will no one ever know? Sometimes you feel so all alone. Like the prophet Jeremiah, you may be the one to go to the dying and the broken with a message of hope. To that church on the corner of that forgotten little town, with a room of empty pews where his love can still be found. You may never know of all the seeds you sow, but it just takes one willing soul to make him known.
Well, greetings, my friends, and thank you so much for joining us. We're considering this an extra special version of the Rural Pastor Podcast for a couple of reasons. One, my special guest is only the infrequently appearing on the Rural Pastor Podcast, Miss Kathy Addis.
Hello.
This is my wife. She's been with us a couple of times, and there's kind of a need for her to be here as a convenience of co-host. As you can probably tell by the sound, we are not in studio. We're on the road. And when I say on the road, we are
on the road.
Literally.
Yeah.
We're literally on the road right now.
On the highway right now.
That's right. We are in one of those weeks. This is the week before Easter. If you're listening to this at the time of publication, this is the week of Easter. And just like you, it is nonstop. It is just back-to-back activities. It's so exciting, but it's so full, and we wonder if we can get everything done. And the truth is, we won't get everything done. But we are on the road, coming back from a family funeral in Oklahoma and heading back to central Kansas. And seeing some beautiful country today, haven't we, dear?
Yeah, we were in God's country.
Yeah, and then we came out of Oklahoma. this one in Kansas and Mary's in Oki. That's a constant debate, yes.
Right.
But the reason that we're doing this is because of that very reason that you are, especially talking to you, the bivocational leader, the volunteer pastor who is trying to get ready for Easter weekend while you're taking care of your family, while you've got another job, while you have all the other responsibilities. Guys like me who have full-time opportunities, we look at this week and go, oh, we've got some extra things to do, and so we make space for it. But very often you, because of your other job, they don't care that Easter is coming. You still have everything else that you need to do. So we wanted to do something extra special for you because we know that Easter is, well, we should be celebrating the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Right on.
So that's the case. But the church, and even we do a little bit, kind of expect Easter to be something special. And sometimes we get a little disappointed because we're so busy, we just don't have room for any of that extra special stuff. So what we're doing is we're going to dedicate this podcast to some easy, quick, and free ideas to creatively add some elements to an Easter worship service weekend. Now, these can obviously be used on any service on any weekend. So you might want to keep some of these ideas around if you're listening to this and it's not an impending Easter. But we have some ideas. I asked the replant team from the North American Mission Board for some input. Kathy and I have done some research and we have our own ideas as well. And we're just going to share a few of these. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So Kathy's already told me she doesn't have a lot of new ideas, but she's going to be color commentary to make sure we're clear on all this stuff. So first of all, let's talk about some categories. There are some audience participation things that we can add. And remember, the goal is to be meaningful, to be fun, creative, but to cost us nothing.
Yeah, I'm saying free is good.
Free is good,
free
isn't
is
it?
Good.
Yeah, because our budget normally for special services like this is about $0.
$0,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Do you remember the first budget that we worked with as a youth pastor?
I think, if I remember right, it was like $5
a month. Yes, it was $60
a
year.
Yeah.
And it was a king-size bag of M&Ms once a month to give away on Wednesday nights.
Back when you could do that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Anyway, so let's talk about a few free ideas. The first one is in the arena of audience participation, meaning kind of how do we get them engaged in a vocal manner. So here's a couple of ways to do that. First of all, call and response. Mm-hmm. If you don't do this, there are several ways to do it throughout the year. For instance, help me out, dear. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And that, it's fun to do kind of antiphonally in church. But on Easter Sunday, what's the one we get to do on Easter Sunday?
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That's right.
Oh, isn't that great? Even if you have to teach that to go back and forth and maybe make that a theme throughout the message. So that call and response, I think, is a fun way to engage with people, and all ages can participate.
It was actually at an Easter service that I learned that. Miss Pat taught me that.
Is that right?
I had not heard that before. And she came up to me and she said, he is risen. And I was like, yes, ma'am. She goes, that's not what you said.
And so we have to train the next generation. Yeah. There you go.
But now I know.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That is right. And what a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Fun way to greet one another. Yeah. There's another thing that you can do to engage in that kind of audience participation. And it's just readings. Many hymnals have some responsive mm-hmm. readings where a leader reads a portion and then the congregation repeats. But if you have a little bit of time, wouldn't it be great to write your own that was scripturally based, but maybe included some local language about reaching your community or about your church lifting up the name of Jesus, and you lead that, and then the congregation is able to respond? I think when it's got that little customized flair, it's kind of like the difference between getting a gift and then getting a customized gift.
Like a keychain with your name on it.
Yeah, so we just been talking about this. Our oldest son runs a business called Supernova Creations, and he's got a laser and a 3D printer, and he's a leather artisan, but the big selling point is that he can customize things. Well, if you could customize a reading, then I think that as well is fantastic. Yeah. Do you like that? Would you be a part of something like that if we did that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really cool, especially to incorporate your community specifically. That would be an encouragement to your people to go out and to live that out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The leader says, we the people of First Podunk Baptist Church are going to blah, blah, blah. And then they come back with, yes, we the people of, I just think that's fun.
Yeah.
That's really fun. So one more in this category, and it is, this might take a little additional planning, but I think it's really cool. And it's better the smaller the congregation for something like this. But if you're going to read a passage of scripture that you're going to need reference throughout the message, maybe it's one passage, but you're going to break it into three or four points, and so you have different sections, or maybe you have a message that has three or four different passages of scripture, write those passages on note cards, give them to some folks in the congregation and their plants, and then when you say, I need to hear this verse, then they just stand up from wherever they are, and read that out, and it's just a fun way to get people like, oh, where's the next scripture landmine going to be, right?
Yeah.
But then to bring some people in as well. Again, it will be one of those things where they look back and go, hey, you remember that Easter where Pastor had people stand up and read scripture?
Mm-hmm.
It's just to give it a little extra something that doesn't cost you anything but gives great meaning.
You might let them know ahead of time.
Oh, like, yeah, the readers?
Before Sunday morning, reach out, ask if they're willing kind of thing.
No, Pastor, this is going to require that your message is done before Sunday morning.
I guess there is that. That's true.
But yes, the sooner the better on something like that. So in that first category, these are just ways to involve the attendees, the congregation, as a part of that. Let me take it to a second level where you're still involving the congregation in activity, but more specific. This may be a great weekend for you to do a time of testimony. Mm. Maybe you know of a story in the congregation, and it doesn't, remember, the testimony doesn't have to be about a great salvation story.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a story of faithfulness or God providing healing or even a comeback. But what a great way to accentuate the power of Christ and the cross and the resurrection than by hearing a testimony.
Absolutely.
we've had several times in the last year that we've shared a video testimony. That mm-hmm. takes a little planning, but yeah. it's also easier because you know how long that
testimony
is going to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's, you know exactly how much time you have.
That's right. And so, but sometimes my thought is, man, this testimony even is overshadowing the message. And my thought is, then what a great testimony that is.
Yeah.
And how much that needs to be included. So that is one way to include a testimony. If you don't know how to engender that, maybe you know somebody and they have a great testimony, they have a great story, but they say, I wouldn't know the first thing about how to give that. Here are three simple statements that you can use that help people craft their own testimony. My life before Christ was. The reason I accepted Christ was. And since I've accepted Christ, my life is. If you haven't finished those three statements, tell them to keep each statement less than 2 minutes. You have a 5 to 7 minute testimony. That doesn't mean that they're going to blow the socks off everybody there with some miracle story, but they're telling the story of Christ's faithfulness. And don't yeah. we love those stories?
Amen.
Amen, amen. And how about this one? Maybe you say they couldn't do a testimony, but what if we did an interview? What if we did something where we brought somebody up that they knew they were going to do this? We gave them the questions ahead of time, but that way we could kind of keep control over the conversation. Maybe mm-hmm. you don't have to do that, Pastor, but somebody else from the congregation can ask the questions. You can write the questions and you can direct it, but you can get more people involved. So testimonies, helping sculpt those testimonies, and interviews as another way of getting people on board.
Yeah.
Sound
I like
good?
It. Yeah, I like it.
All right. Let's talk about children. We'll talk about children and teenagers. So the younger sect, we have a couple of things that I think would be really good for you to create. Remember, our goal is free creative yeah. additions to a service, especially coming up Easter weekend. So if you have any children in the house, but you don't do a children's sermon, a holiday like this is a great time to bring them up to the front and to have you or somebody else do a children's sermon. And there's a secret to the children's sermon. Let me just help you out with this. It can actually amplify the pastor's message. It can be a part of the pastor's message. Mm-hmm. But here's what's great. I was a children's pastor for, 2.5 years?
Yeah.
And I got to do children's sermons every mm-hmm. week. And what I found was that sometimes it was the children's sermon that got the hearts of especially some men who were watching mm-hmm. their kids who hadn't yet made a decision for Christ, but when they were listening at that heart level with their kids, it finally got through to them.
Yeah, yeah. They can be really powerful.
They can. And so you can be a little creative, maybe an object lesson, maybe completely distinct from what you're doing, but it's an opportunity to bring the kids up. Speaking of bringing the kids up, if you got the kiddos, and even if you were singing a hymn on Sunday morning, what if they sang one verse of that hymn? We asked everybody, on the third verse, y'all be quiet and let the kiddos sing this. There is something amazing about that. And first of all, if you let them know ahead of time that we're going to do that, a children's choir, even if it's one verse of one song, you'll find that grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles are more easily invited to church if little Sally is going to be up on stage.
Oh, yeah. They're a great motivator.
That's right. Just like baptism brings in family members, mm-hmm. you put one of those little ones up there. They'll put on their best Easter duds. Mm-hmm. They'll show up. And all they have to do is participate with you. It doesn't have to be a big production, mm-hmm. But it can just be a part of the service. And we celebrate that. We applaud them. And then we maybe even ask all the parents who are, this is a great moment. Hey, all the parents of these kiddos, stand up right now. And let's give them a round of applause for being the kind of parents who bring their kids to church and are raising them the right way.
I love it.
Isn't that fun?
How fun would it be if everybody, if you don't normally stand during the music and just at that one verse, all the kids stood up and sang,
yeah.
you know, instead of, I don't know, instead of all going forward, but, and it can't be verse, it can't be the third one. No one sings the third one.
Depends on your denomination now.
Anyway.
So no, that's a really good idea. And what you're getting at is that what it really takes to be creative is just to be creative.
Yeah.
You can do the exact same thing done just a little bit differently. Here's the deal. If you've been a pastor for any length of time, here's what you know. You change anything a little bit, people notice.
Oh, yeah.
But if you do it intentionally and you do it for a holiday like this and you mm-hmm. do it for a reason that that you're making clear, those kind of changes are kind of celebrated and applauded. They're like, oh, remember that Easter when we mm-hmm. did blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So well, those are the kiddos. Let's take it up a notch. Our student ministry, those who are in the teen category, this would be super easy to do, just to include them. You get all the same benefit of families being really excited. You can applaud the same families in the same way. But what if we gave the responsibilities of scripture reading, taking the offering, doing the announcements,
handing out bulletins,
and we brought them either in to do that or to partner with the adults that are already doing that. What mm-hmm. a great step toward intergenerational ministry. And my yeah. hope is that something like that would maybe start on Easter and continue on.
Absolutely.
And on and on.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, so we've talked about how do we involve the congregation at large? How do we use individuals through testimonies and interviews? Talked about some children and teenagers and how we would use them to make the Easter holiday a little more special, or any weekend. I've got a couple random things, and then we've saved a couple of the best for last. but here's a couple of other random things. If you've never done an Easter sunrise service, maybe it's because you think I'm not an early riser or not that many people will show up. Just putting it on the calendar and saying, you say, well, when do you do it?
Sunrise.
Yeah, just ask Google. It'll tell you when to do that. But it doesn't need to be a big event. It can happen in the parking lot of the church.
Yeah, yeah.
And all you have to do is say, we're going to be here. We're going to sing a hymn. I'm going to offer a devotional reading. And we're going to pray together. And as the sun comes up, we're going to reflect on what it was like for the sun to come up that morning on an empty tomb. And if you've never done it before, there really is power. You say, well, again, what if not many people show up? If you have a congregation of 30 and 10 show up to that, that is a win amongst wins.
That's right.
It's almost like tailgating before the big game.
I love it. Well, that, you know what? That's funny that you say that, because I was thinking that say you do have it in the parking lot of the church, set up a couple of tables and eat breakfast together while you're there.
Oh, that's
a
great idea.
Like everybody bring a quick, easy potluck something or the other and just enjoy breakfast together before service.
Or even better, some holy donuts.
That's right.
Oh, there you go, baby. So just bring a box of donuts for everybody.
Sometimes, for some of us, that is our potluck dish.
And if you do it, if you've never done, even if you've always done that, but maybe you're trying it again new, if you do an Easter sunrise service and then you do some kind of breakfast or donuts afterwards, make that time in between. Hey, let's pray for everybody that we've invited. That would be a great time to, and then maybe say, oh, and if some of you need to leave to go get them, you feel free to do that.
Yeah.
And to just capitalize on all that time to make it a great morning from top to bottom. All right. One more random before our two, what I think are the big ideas for us. This would be fun if your church has any history and you can get a hold of this. This will take a little legwork, but again, it's free. What if you could find pictures from as many Easters back as you can get to celebrate the church as well as the resurrection? If your church is 20 years old, if you could find a picture from every 5 years, even if we're only four pictures, the first Easter, the fifth, the 15th, or as close you can get to those. And don't worry about even intervals, but just tell that story, because that's what I would encourage you to do. In the middle of the service, as you're preaching about God's faithfulness, or as you're sharing at the offering time, why it's good to give, look what God has done, mm-hmm. and to tell that story over the years. And people like pictures.
That's true. That's right. Especially if they're in.
And it's also a good way for Sister Susie, that's a little sassy. She probably has some pictures, but you'd be her favorite for that weekend if you said, hey, do you have some pictures for us? We would love to do that. So just an idea. So again, hopefully some of these things are things, I could do that, or they may be leading you to go, I got a better idea than that, and this just kind of starts us. Now, I got a couple more. Did you have anything you wanted to throw in before we kind of move towards the big ideas?
No, I don't think so.
Did we cover everything?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, everything I could think of.
You're being very quiet over there. We love you very much.
I'm trying.
She's concerned because we're driving, but man, my eyes are on the road.
Except for when he's looking at me.
Well, because you're too beautiful. I look
hands,
at you. Anyway.
Both hands are going when
sorry,
he's talking.
Sorry. No, we're completely safe. By the way, for those of you who are podcasters and those of you who are wondering, how did they get this recording? We do not have mics set up and headphones.
We do not.
There's a little system called a DJI mic. There's a mic and a mic two. They're just two versions of the same thing. And literally, it's just a clip on my seatbelt and clip on Kathy's seatbelt, and we're recording on the phone. I'm not holding or looking at officers.
No.
I'm not.
That's true. That's
it's over
true.
There on Kathy's lap. So it's just that easy. Anyway, so let's bring it down now. We've talked about call and response, kind of whole crowd, individuals, children and teens. We've talked about some random, a couple miscellaneous things. But then I have two kind of bigger ideas. They could be sermons, if you're still saying, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do.
It is Tuesday.
when you say it's Tuesday, does that mean they got plenty of time or are they running out?
I don't know. It just depends on how your brain works, I guess.
We're going to save that for a preaching podcast at some point. So here's the first one. And the first one comes from me. The second one comes from the replant team. Actually, Mark Clifton, a former co-host here, we were talking about these ideas today. But here's the first one. This one comes from me. And this is not a tried and tested one. This is one I've always wanted to do and I've never done it. So I would love for somebody to try this and let me know. This could work for a Good Friday service or it could work for an Easter service. But what if you ran the whole service like it was a funeral? You literally write an obituary for Jesus. And then you share memories from family and friends right out of the scriptures. But then at the end of the service, instead of a benediction, we celebrate a miracle because the deceased has been raised to life.
Oh, that's awesome. It gave me chills.
Wouldn't that be crazy cool? I mean, if you don't wear a suit in church on Sunday and you showed up with a suit for Easter and people are like, oh, you're showing up with a suit for Easter. And then you get up and you don't tell anybody. You say, we're here today. Thank you for gathering as we celebrate the life. Oh, man. I just think that'd be super powerful.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I think it would definitely catch people off guard.
And it would take some planning on your part. But again, wouldn't cost you a thing.
True.
Wouldn't cost you a thing.
It'd be memorable.
Memorable, absolutely. Okay, and here's the final one. This is Mark Clifton's idea that he was sharing with the replant team on a call that I was on recently, and I just thought it was so good, it needs to be reproduced. And what is it? Imagine going out in the church parking lot and gathering up a bunch of rocks, right? Or somewhere on a dirt road, just get a bunch of rocks. Enough rocks for everybody to have one. You wash them up and you get them maybe on the seats or you hand them out. Or at one point during the sermon, at one point during the service, right before the message, you actually hand those out. And we talk about the fact that a week ago was Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is when, of course, Jesus comes riding in and the crowds come out and cry, Hosanna. And they say, tell your disciples to be quiet. And what did Jesus say? If they were quiet,
the rocks would cry out.
Even the rocks would cry out. I mean, what an image. But then to ask everybody to ponder those rocks and say, this is not the first time the rocks would have had the opportunity to teach us. What about the rock that Moses struck? And tell the story of how Moses, even though God was faithful, struck that rock and it became a memorial to remember that God will provide and it doesn't have to come through us. What about the five stones that David collected, but he only needed one to bring down the giant? What about the stones that the men picked up to cast on the woman caught in adultery? And Jesus said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And what about the great stone that rolled away from the tomb?
I hear a little preaching going on.
Wow. Can you hear it?
I was thinking Stephen too.
Oh yeah, there you go. Stephen was stoned. And there's just, if you go through scripture, rock after rock, the Bethel, when he pulled the rock under his head to sleep upon him, and he saw the ladder. If you just did a word search on rocks, you're gonna find a lot. But the thing is, then that gives you a great preaching platform or even a teaching platform, or that could be your children's sermon. You could do something with that. And yet, at the same time, what an obviously great moment, because you could leave that in the hands of those who are there.
Absolutely.
And they could leave that day, hopefully put that on their dresser, put that on the bathroom countertop, and remember for a few days, hey, this is the rock. And Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. Mm. See what you can do with that? Oh, it's so good.
That is good.
But the big rock is the one that was rolled away from the tomb. Mm. All right. Man, I hope some of this has been inspiring to you. I hope some good ideas, some things that maybe go, okay, we could try this. This would be a good thing for us to attempt. But if not one of these, then maybe something else. Now, let me just be honest with you. If you didn't do anything different or creative, it's not a mandate to do that.
Right.
If you preach the gospel, mm-hmm. and don't think that this is the Super Bowl where I have to perform at a better level than ever. Nope, it's still what God is doing through you. It's still the power of the Holy Spirit. It is still the story of the gospel.
Yeah.
Don't put any more pressure on yourself than you would any other weekend. What we do every single weekend is important.
That's right.
If you're looking for some help, some energy, some fresh ideas, I hope something like this is helpful to you. Kathy, thanks for being color commentary.
Well, sure. I didn't really have any choice in it.
You're in the car.
That's right. I enjoyed it. That was cool.
So you did. You're confessing now that I didn't force you to do this.
You did not.
Asked nicely.
You did. Yeah. It wasn't like I was going anywhere.
That's right. That's right. Well, we've covered many miles. We just got through Pratt, Kansas.
Yeah.
If you know where we're at, we're in the middle of nowhere. My favorite place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. So God bless you guys. May you have a wonderful week. Mm-hmm. May you have an even better weekend. May there be people who come to know Jesus Christ in your services, and may you find true fulfillment in your calling. Because if you're called to these small, out-of-the-way places with a job that you have to do two or three different times, meaning that you don't only have one job, you have two, maybe three, some of you try vocational, just know this: God knows your heart, knows your situation, and He and we are very proud of you. Thankful for what you're doing. Many blessings. We'll talk to you again real soon on another episode of the Rural Pastor Podcast.
Bye.
Like the prophet Jeremiah, you may be the one to go to the dying and the broken with a message of hope to that church on the corner of that forgotten little town with a room of empty pews where His love can still be found. You may never know of all the seeds you sow, but it just takes one willing soul to make it known.
Thank you for joining us on the Rural Pastor Podcast. Special thanks to Chosen Road for our incredible theme music and to 180 Digital for their corporate sponsorship and making all the technical things possible. Rural church leader, we want to remind you that your work is important, that you are important, and that you are not alone. See you again soon for another edition of the Rural Pastor Podcast.